This is Infants on Thrones. The philosophies of men mingled with humor. We are the Quorum.
And there he is, all out of key and nervous, singing act naturally, Ringo.
Hey there, listeners. It's Jake. And today we'll be talking to Tom Doggett, the creator of the Hard to Find Mormon Videos channel on YouTube. But before I get to that, let me explain why I was so excited to do this episode in the first place. See, church videos of yesteryear were a mainstay in my childhood, and a lot of that had to do with the do's and don'ts of Sunday activities in my house. On Sundays, we weren't allowed to watch TV or movies of any kind, except for those produced by the church or the Lord's University. So, at some point every Sunday afternoon, my sister and I would inevitably get bored and dig through the bin of VHS cassettes encased in these navy blue plastic cases with a white horizontal stripe across the center and a kind of 60s BYU Studios Beehive logo printed on the left margin. We'd pop one of those in and be like transported into a bygone era through such classic productions as The Letter and Johnny Lingo and The Phone Call and some not-so-classics like this one about the benefits of cardiovascular exercise called Run Dick, Run Jane, and another one about an alcoholic uncle who has to pull his shit together after his sister, who's a single mother, dies suddenly and leaves him with custody of the kids. I think it was called like Uncle Ben. Anyway, those videos ended up becoming like a comfort food to me. And even now, I still remember vividly the grainy footage and unfamiliar fashion and tinny audio with a feeling of nostalgia. Anyway, eventually my sister went to college and we moved away from my childhood home, but I ended up having one more very memorable throwback experience to that chapter of my life in high school. I was in Sunday school and our teacher had a family emergency or something, couldn't teach the lesson, so the Sunday school president grabbed a TV and popped in the first video he could find with a long enough runtime. And as the movie began, I was enthralled. On one hand, it was from the same era as the videos I was used to, and so it recalled this deep sense of nostalgia, but on the other, it was fascinatingly unfamiliar to me. The movie was called That Which Was Lost, and it's a 30-minute drama about a young men's leader helping one of his young men through a difficult time in his life by trying to save him from the dangers of drug use and hippieism. And the obsession with hippies in the movie was bizarre to me, because by the time I was going through the youth program, the church had moved on from hippies. In my era, it was all about porn. Porn on the internet, porn on TV, porn in magazines, porn. I heard way more about porn from church than I ever did from a locker room. So having hippies as the boogeyman of a church production was weird to me, and the absurdity of that hippie boogeyman culminated in a scene where the leader tracks the young man to the hippie den where he ran away to bring him back, and as he's confronted by his youth leader, the boy says,
"Get out of my life, Larry. Don't you understand? Get out of my life!"
And as if linked by hippie telepathy, all the other people in the house start chanting, "Get out of my life. Get out of my life." And as this mob of dope heads is slowly moving toward the young men's leader like a pack of sharks honing in on one solitary jet, he slowly backs down the steps, and then, still chanting, one of the hippies starts lighting firecrackers one at a time and tossing them toward the young men's leader, and he retreats to the safety of his Volvo, and I'm thinking, what is going on here? This is crazy. I love it. Anyway, that night, I tell my family about it, and we all have a good chuckle, and the get out of my life sequence even became an inside joke for us. To this day, every time we get together, one of us references it, get out of my life, and we have a good laugh. And I promised them at the time that I'd track this video down so we could all watch it together, but for the life of me, I could not ever find it again. I couldn't quite remember the title, and I spent the next 10 plus years asking every church librarian I could find if they remembered a video about a kid and there were hippies, and they all said, get out of my life. And anyway, no dice. Nobody knew what I was talking about. So imagine my surprise when a few months ago, a listener links that very video to our Facebook wall asking for a smackdown. The prodigal video has returned. And there was much rejoicing. But even better than the video itself was where the video came from. It was posted on a YouTube channel called Hard to Find Mormon Videos, and as I picked through the videos, I realized this was a treasure trove of these beautiful BYU and church productions of yesteryear, all just posted without comment. And as I watched them, I realized why I had enjoyed them so much in childhood. These videos are an archive of the issues and topics that the modern LDS Church has seen as being important enough to merit educational materials over the past 50 plus years. In a way, I don't think that there's any better insight into the mind of the institution than these documents. So, as a kid, when I was watching these videos, even though the look and feel and language was unfamiliar to me, it felt oddly comforting because, I guess, in a way, I was learning about my heritage. Anyway, all of that to say that I'm very excited to have Tom Doggett, the man behind the Hard to Find Mormon Videos YouTube channel, on today's podcast with myself and Tom Perry to discuss his project. So, I hope you enjoy. Since recording 30 seconds. All right, I think we're good.
Well, yeah, if you need a backup, you let me know.
Hey, Tom, how you doing?
Doing good?
I mean, Tom D. See, this is the wrong guy said yes. Just kidding, Tom. We love to have you, Tom Perry.
You can. Do we need nicknames? Is that what it's going to be? Am I going to make it awkward? Sorry.
You know,
well, no.
I asked to go on Mormon Expression for something or other, and John Larson said Tom, we've already got one. So.
Oh, did he? Oh, that was a douche move. Sorry.
No. I think he was quoting the Simpsons. So.
Oh, yeah, okay.
The No Toms Club. So.
Right. How about all right, I mean, should there be nicknames? I think I may just say last initial. So I say Tom D, Tom P, maybe. Is that okay?
Yeah, it's fine. It's fine. I go by all.
It's better than real Tom and fake Tom.
I go by
D-Dog. That still leaves it confusing, yeah.
Yeah, that's true. I'll just let you guess who I'm liking more at the moment when I say.
Doggett works fine.
Right.
So.
Doggett. Tom and Doggett.
I don't know.
Would that be okay?
That's fine with me.
Is that okay with you, Tom?
Perry? Yeah.
See, it's
going to be awkward, huh?
Yeah, I think we're going to have to divide. We have to have some differentiating. Doggett, is that okay?
That's fine.
Okay. All right. Not to be.
I went by it for 2 years. It's okay. Wait.
It is a unique last name. Like, you couldn't do that with, like, Smith. Like, it's the, you know. But Doggett, I think, is unique enough where you could pretty much narrow it down.
H. Doggett replaced Mulder on The X-Files.
Whoa, I did not know that. Random sci-fi facts. That's awesome.
I was serving my mission during the last season, so lots of people answered the door, and they're like, holy cow!
You're like, in a way, Mormonism is like a really cool alien story. Right? It's like the truth is out there.
Kind of.
Actually, it's right here. In this handy book.
I was just ticked off I couldn't watch the finale. Which, I guess, wasn't really that bad of a thing. Oh, well.
So what's kind of your backstory with Mormonism, and what led up to the creation of the Hard to Find Mormon Videos archive?
Combination of two things. I grew up in a family where we watched Mystery Science Theater 3000 every Saturday night as a family.
Awesome.
Yeah, so then I went on my mission to Portland, and it was pretty boring. That was 2001 to 2003. Mm-hmm. A lot of attracting. So P-Days, when I became a district leader, I had keys to the Stake Center building, and we would just go into the library and watch movies all day and make fun of them.
Awesome. Just you and your companion?
The district.
Did you take the district?
The district?
Oh, wow.
If they wanted to. Yeah, it was just open invitation. You had to get permission from the district leader. So
okay.
That was pretty easy. And yeah.
What was the library like at that particular building?
Yeah, that was... Oh, God. I think... That was the Forest Grove Stake Center, I think. I don't know where. It was one of these old stakes where the Stake Center building had been built by the members, and it was old, you know, big, you know, multiple floors, and the library was huge, just with all sorts of stuff just crammed in it. No organization whatsoever. So it was fun. You just pour through stuff and pull things out and find, oh, yeah, here's a film strip. You know, here's... I think the coolest thing I found, and this is going to be really boring, and this probably says a lot more about who I am. The coolest thing I found was a box of explanatory flashcards about the church's new scriptures that came out in 79 through 80.
Really?
Yeah, they had these little flashcards talking about, you know, when we went back to the original manuscripts of the Book of Mormon, we found out that some things had been lost in subsequent years, and they've been brought back into this version. And they'd go through how things got changed and, you know, things that got added and stuff like that, which is really cool. I brought I brought a really old version of my mom's Book of Mormon with me on the mission. And I during morning study, I would highlight every difference as we were reading along, you know.
Holy
this
cow.
Word was that
wow.
word. This word was that word. I never, never had cognitive dissonance with that. I just thought it was awesome. So, again,
interesting.
That probably says a lot more about me than what other people might find interesting about that. So, yeah, I'd be like, oh, dude, in Ether it says, Jesus says, I am the life and the light of the world. And, or something like that. And, but, you know, that's what it said originally, but it got lost and it was just, you know, I'm just the life of the world or something like that. I don't actually remember. There's that stupid, famous one that Truman G. Madsen made a big deal about where the word always got dropped when Cora Horror's, you know, explaining he knew there was a God. He always knew there was a God. I thought that was cool at the time. Now I look back in that and I'm just embarrassed. But
what I'm assuming is some sort of faith crisis.
I know the Reddit crowd will appreciate this. My version of the hypocephalus, the funny round thing in the Book of Abraham.
Yeah.
Everybody knows about the Egyptian god Min. Mine only had one obvious limb. The other was actually just conspicuously missing. I drew it in because it was missing. Yeah.
Really? So yes. You're saying your print didn't have the erect penis?
It did not. I thought it was an arm. I thought it was giving one of the holy temple signs, you know? And I'm like, well, they messed that up. Let's draw that arm back in. So
that's it. Whoa, that's fascinating. Whoa, but weren't those wood? I mean, did they edit that out? Did they brush that out of an earlier version then?
I don't know. I suspect that probably at some point in the 20s or something to save on costs, they made new woodcuts that were, I'm guessing, cheaper. Maybe the old ones were falling apart or something. I don't know. That would be my guess, trying to be charitable. I don't think it was done intentionally. Maybe it was. But yeah, there's a period of time up before, I don't know, the 60s or so when they put the old woodcuts back in. So if you go all the way back to like the Times and Seasons in Nauvoo, it's in there the same as it is today. But then there's just large period of time in the middle where there's a couple of things missing. There's like an extra number that doesn't even point to anything. There's the missing penis, things like that.
That's an X-Files episode. The missing penis.
But I was a farms file when I was a kid, so I love that stuff anyway. I never had a problem with it. I even drew what I remembered where the lacunae, the missing parts on the on the hypocephalus were. I drew those in my missionary copy. You know, just marking. And here is the part where, you know, this was missing in the original. And Joseph Smith filled it in with, you know, this part from over here in the Book of Breathings. And these little markings here that they aren't Egyptian, but, you know, whatever. Maybe they're Adamic or something.
Wow. So, you know, all about that. And that wasn't a problem.
Yeah. I look back on that night. I am a bit embarrassed that it was not a problem at all. No, I loved that stuff. I really did. I wanted to be an apologist. Dan Peterson was just an awesome guy.
Wow.
Well, so this is fascinating. I'm really happy. Like, I don't want you feeling embarrassed about that at all, because I'm kind of more of the, I mean, my kind of mentality surrounding Mormonism was very naive. It was very brittle. And so, it kind of shattered all at once when it was really exposed to a certain information. So I've always been fascinated by people who knew all the things, who like already knew the things that were so devastating to me, but that wasn't a problem, because I'm always curious, what was the catalyst for you? I mean, does it condense into a moment, or is it just kind of a long type of like a long burn type thing?
It's a long burn, to be honest. I think for most people who are like me, there are probably a couple people who are like me who knew a lot and it just kind of just collapses suddenly. Mm-hmm. I can't speak for them exactly because I'm not them. But, I have a friend online, Mithrin. I knew him beforehand. He knew a lot of stuff. He loved researching church history. But for him, it really was kind of a very quick turnaround when it kind of all collapsed for him. But I never really quite had that, no.
Okay, so it was kind of a slow transition.
No, I love that stuff. Loose translation, tight translation. I knew that in high school. That was fun stuff for me.
But you never got into apologetics, because I mean they're always looking for new recruits. I can't imagine why you wouldn't have got in there.
Nothing new. I'm really good I'm a good archivist, I suppose, if you will. Mm. Not really a good researcher per se. I'm really good about reading things, storing things in my head, and bringing them back on call. Really good about that.
Mm-hmm.
connecting dots that are right in front of me, I don't know if I'm really any better at that than anybody else. So doing like new apologetics and trying to make new things, new solutions to old problems. Mm-hmm. I was never very good at that, but I liked apologetics. I went to institutes, and every time the teacher would say something weird, I would write it down to look it up further, and that was probably a lot of the things that went on the shelf, to be honest.
Interesting.
But
that's fascinating.
Yeah. My first seminary teacher said something about Zelf and how Zelf proves that those people who think it happened in Central America, that they're just plain wrong because
those people. Yeah.
And I thought, really? I think those people are awesome. I got to find out more. So I asked my dad, could we go to BYU? And I go there and I look at an article written about the Zelf accounts and how there's multiple accounts. They've been spliced together by church historians. And I write this entire paper up and I slip in under his door because I don't have the courage to actually give it to his face.
Yeah. Was your name on it? Or was it like cut out of magazine letters, like a ransom note?
No, I wrote up this like 4 or 5 page, report. It was an assignment. The guy never really spoke to me much again. Because I basically said, yeah, Zelf doesn't really say much of anything unless you want it to. It's just weird. That's all.
To me, it's obvious you have a gift for archiving because that's essentially what this project that you've taken on is.
Yeah. So we watched all these movies, we made fun of all these movies, and I came home with all these great memories of just these times just chilling with a bunch of my friends, the district in the library. And I came home and I'm like, you guys, you've got to see these dumb movies. Some of these things are horrible. And everyone's seen Johnny Lingo and some people have seen Pioneers and Petticoats. But to be honest, when it comes to the old stuff, that's probably about it, really. And there's a ton of old stuff out there.
Well, Tom Trails kind of has a legend in and of itself, doesn't it? Life's your own, Tom Trails. You're not alone, Tom Trails. You have Lily's love and you know the Lord above. You can make your own bright future, Tom Trails. I don't know.
Tom Trails is kind of before my time. I had to discover it in that library. I've never even heard
it. It was before my time too, but I remember there was like a legend with that because it was the old slideshow. You have that up on there, don't you?
I do. I have the whole thing now. I'm pretty proud of that. That
is some weird, weird stuff. And I mean, I remember when I was a kid, one of the teachers was watching, doing the slideshow thing, and I'm like, this is so strange. Like, I don't even know where to start. And
what is? I don't know this.
Tom Trails? I'm gonna have
to, I know. I don't know.
Yet another Tom. Tom Trails is a film strip that was produced in the... I'm going to have to look it up for the actual dates. It was a film strip produced for the seminary program, but I'm pretty sure it was produced for the Lamanite seminary program. I could be wrong on that. I know a lot of regular Mormons watched it, too. But it's a series of like 17 episodes, like 10 to 20 minutes each. And they're all about this young Navajo kid on the reservation. Mm-hmm. He goes to seminary at the local high school. And it's kind of weird because each episode actually follows from the one before. And so while each one tells, Tom learns about the Beatitudes and Tom learns about helping his neighbors and all that. But at the same time, you have this overarching story of Tom gets framed for murder and Tom's girlfriend dies and Tom's. Yeah, it's a sorry. I gave away a spoiler there for the.
Yeah, right. You don't want to ruin.
I've ruined the.
Wait, how long are these episodes, though?
They range about 15 minutes each. So you're looking about like three hours if you want to sit down and take it.
Yeah, a few years ago, there was a website that had like those QuickTime Flash.
Oh, yeah. Things,
and it was tomtrails.com, and I'm looking it up right now. It doesn't look like it's active anymore. But I remember just flipping through it. I'm like, this is some of the most creepy stuff I've ever seen. And I don't want to rush into this too much because this was like my number one question about all these – videos that you sat on your mission watching and doing the Mystery Science Theater thing, which I love that idea. But as I'm trying to, you know, cherry pick through some of these videos, I just can't sit there and watch this without the vomit coming up, or just like, oh my gosh, I can't freaking believe this. Like, it's borderline torture in a lot of ways.
But okay, so my experience with like the old movies is we did have like a set of old movies, and on Sundays we couldn't on when I say old movies, I mean like church videos, like from the
animated just the BYU or what.
Right, so there's the animated series, which is the slide. They're also kind of slides. They're stills. They're just paintings, stills that are kind of. There's almost like a Ken Burns like kind of swiping effect on them, and then there's like a narration of them. But there's one that like has the story of the Jesus and the swine, you know, and the demons that go into the swine. Mm-hmm. And like the pictures were always like really kind of scary a little bit. Like they were like when he talked about the guy that was possessed, they had this close up of this really freaking looking guy, but on Sundays we were only allowed to watch videos produced either by the church or by BYU. So there was this phase that we had like the guilt inducing video. I don't know why we had it, but it had like Cypher on the Snow and Uncle Ben and The Letter.
Yeah.
Which are three like gut wrenchers in a row. They are terrible. They're all about like just terrible, dark, dark movies.
Cypher in the Snow is, oh man.
Oh, Cypher in the Snow is terrible. Cypher in the Snow and The Letter are like, that's like, it's
people or they will die.
Right, exactly. Yeah, right. And even if you're nice to them, it may be too late. She may die opening the letter you finally send, you ungrateful piece of shit.
It really is. The Cypher in the Snow, I remember thinking it's like a murder mystery of trying to figure out the motive, like who made him feel bad enough. You're guilty of murder because you made him feel bad.
Right.
Oh, yeah, it's crazy, yeah. Dude.
Cliff held on for a long time. Finally, he just turned his face to the wall, too. Turned his face to the wall and died. I see what you mean. In a way, we all share the blame. What are we going to do about it? What can we do? Maybe a little attention, a little love.
Yeah,
but it's this fascinating, like what I'm getting from this video archive is like this fascinating like cross section of different attitudes, like cultural attitudes that are solidified.
Yeah.
Like, and it's just it's amazing to be able to kind of, it's almost like a time capsule for, you know, one generation ago or two generations ago, 30 years, 50 years in the past for church history. It's pretty amazing.
That's definitely something that's changed between me watching on my mission, which I think is how I got through all of these, because I'm so bored. I'll watch anything. But that's how I can watch so much. I mean, I read B.H. Roberts' comprehensive history from cover to cover, because what else am I going to do?
That is bored.
But going through now, especially, I'll be honest, I haven't even watched all these. You know, I'll set them recording through the VCR, and sometimes I'll watch. Sometimes I have to walk away because it's just, it brings back just too much, or it just makes me groan. Anything that features Central America is horrifying. But
it really is.
Oh,
it's really bad.
But you see these, you do see something I never saw as a missionary, because as a missionary, I saw the church and the gospel as the same thing, unchangeable. You know, Joseph Smith could walk into our ward any day and, yeah, things would be different, but he'd understand that they'd be different. Everything would be cool.
Right.
You look at these, you follow them all the way back from the late 40s up till the modern day, and you just see the ebb and flow of what people cared about, of what the church was trying to do in terms of talking to its membership, in terms of talking to non-members. Things change, and it makes me actually miss the church that's represented in some of this really old stuff. They actually cared about the world. They actually thought they could make a difference.
But socially, they also thought the world was going to end too. So I mean, isn't that kind of why they cared?
Can you imagine anybody in the church making a movie today about the family of someone in the bishopric that acknowledges that he's going to be an absentee father.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. That was
pretty
Yeah, yeah.
But
wow, yeah, good point. Good point.
But that's one of the episodes that I have. Don't remember the exact name. A Day for Timmy. I don't know, but yeah, that's one of them that's in there. You've got things about about bullying and about emotional abuse with Cypher and the Snow. I mean, really, what would be the point of the LDS Church making something like Cypher and the Snow today? You know, be nice to people or they're gonna die. Come join the church. You know, it's really weird that they have this mentality of, we've got the truth. We're sending out missionaries. Everything's awesome. We might as well help everybody else with our awesomeness, which is really something quite lacking for the last couple decades, I would say. And now it's really this kind of mentality of, no, everything's inside of us. Keep it all in. Push the world out. If they're going to blow themselves up, if they're going to, have gay marriage and all this other stuff, fuck them, whatever.
Right. Well, the thing is, I just don't remember.
Shouldn't say that. Sorry.
The breadth of that's probably, they wouldn't say fuck them, but they, the sentiment would be there.
Right. The tone. Non-verbally, that's what they're saying.
Right. Right. So the thing is, I'm just thinking back into my past and I don't remember the media arm, the multimedia arm of the church being nearly as prolific as a lot of the stuff. Because the one that I want to talk about today, which we'll get to it later, but that video is, that's a 30-minute video. That's a pretty big production. Mm-hmm. to screen and script and block out and film and edit and cut together a 30-minute educational video. And there are tons of these that I haven't even heard of, and they were cranking them out 10 a year, 20 a year, something like that. Just dozens and dozens and dozens of videos. But I really don't remember. I feel like if they would have made a 30-minute video when I was in seminary or institute, I would have heard about it. But I don't remember seeing much of that. Like, it almost seems like it's been kind of correlated. It's like, mm-hmm. It's been narrowed down to a few things, but they don't have like that. The multimedia arm isn't necessarily seen as like an extension of the church itself in the same way. Like if the video that one that was lost, the credit, one of the credits says, the Church of Jesus Christ of Latter-day Saints under the direction of the first presidency and the quorum of the 12 apostles, says that at the beginning of the video. That's the second credit. That's the second thing you see on the screen, is those words. And I don't know if that's the stance that the multimedia arm of the church is taking anymore.
No.
As explicitly. I don't know. What do you think?
I think the multimedia arm of the church today is seen as useless if it doesn't fulfill one of the three missions of the church. It's really four, but everyone forgets about the fourth. If it's going to bring people into the church, then it's important enough to make a movie of some sort.
Meet the Mormons.
Meet the Mormons, Testaments, Legacy, whatever. If it's going to help the saints, so we've got training videos, we've got, feel good things about Jesus, that sort of thing. Or if it's going to redeem the dead. So actually nothing really comes
new
to
temple
mind
videos
that, yeah,
new temple videos maybe.
Yeah. Then you've got that you've got help the poor, but who cares about that? So
yeah, except for the poor. Yeah.
They don't have TVs. Why are we making things for them to see?
Tradition, but I haven't been to church for like 2 years now, but I cannot remember the last time anyone ever talked about helping the poor. But yeah,
as a mission of the church.
But these old videos, they are all, a lot of them are about doing all of that and helping your fellow man. The video that we want to talk about, there's actually three versions of it. There's the full length version, which was made for members of the church. Mm-hmm. There's a non-denominational version where they actually cut out the Mormon references.
Really?
And it's just about a Christian guy helping a friend. Mm-hmm. And then there's a secular version, which is just kind of about telling, regular Republican conservative people, yeah, you can help people not be hippies too.
No kidding.
Interesting.
They really did care about the rest of the world. And one of the things about this archive is you can see that slowly disappear.
Fascinating. That is really interesting to me.
One of the ones I got to get off my butt. I do have plans to actually make Mystery Science Theater soundtracks, like riff tracks. If
you... Oh, yeah. You have like a voice for it though.
Oh, thanks.
Yes. You actually, you should take this as a massive compliment because I love this man's voice, but your voice reminds me of Paul F. Tompkins.
I don't know who that is.
Oh, really? Paul F. Tompkins. Spontaneous Nation? Yeah.
He's a great, he's like this brilliant improv. He collaborates with all kinds of stuff.
You shut up on YouTube. Yeah.
From Los Angeles, the news capital of the world, it's time for Know You Shut Up. And now your host, me.
Hello, and welcome to Know You Shut Up. I'm Paul F. Tompkins.
Yeah, one of the ones I want to do is one called Welfare, Another Perspective, which is this groovy, and I mean that by all sense of the words, this groovy 1970s documentary about welfare. And it's not about joining the church. It's not about Mormons are awesome. It is actually about, here's what we do to help people. Here's what we do to help people. Here's what we do to help people. The end.
No, that's really cool.
They don't do that anymore. And that's part of why I want to have this out there, because I could never believe in the church again. But I could belong to... Well, okay. I couldn't belong to the 1950s church because it's full of right-wing wackos. But I could belong to... that mentality, you know, that the old frontier Mormonism, that early 19th century Utah type church, they actually seem to be a religion of real people trying to live a real life.
Yeah, except for I
actually
think...
participate in that.
But don't you?
Well, they killed people sometimes, but that's, you know, that's going on all the time. What are you going to do?
Well, and what about
they massacred people occasionally?
What about the unintentional racism and sexism and? Even in some of these videos, I can't remember which one of them I was watching. I was like, ugh, it's just so, I know they're not, they don't mean to be, you know, racist or sexist, but geez Louise. And maybe it is just more of a product of the time and the era. I don't know, but
there's some no. that are just pretty recent too. I can't tell you how much I am resisting the urge to make a particular playlist that is just the groaningly negative bad videos, because
you definitely should do that.
That'd be awesome.
I have actually gotten someone from BYU actually did message me saying, you know, please get back in touch with us, and here's me worried they're going to tell me to take something down. I got back in touch with them. They never got back in touch with me, but I do have to worry about the fact that these are all still technically under copyright by BYU and the LDS Church. They could probably ask for any of them to be taken down. So
do you know if you've got the entire library? Because I'm astonished. There's so many.
Right. Oh, no. There's a couple things that I'm sure I'm missing. I've got pretty much the entire library of what's available on VHS between roughly 1980 and 1995 or so.
Holy cow. Wow.
Yeah, I mean, because did you get access to these?
Church libraries, actually.
Cool.
I went back to what I remembered and remembered, you know, this whole thing actually started because I wanted to do Mystery Science Theater 3000. Like I said, I want to get together with like-minded people. And I guess this is me asking, if anyone's interested, get in touch with me. It's going it's not going to be as fun a process as you think it is, but, it's very repetitive. The cool thing about Mystery Science Theater is that they worked really hard to make it sound off the cuff,
spontaneous. Right.
If you actually do it off the cuff, it is so boring. So yeah. You have to watch these things like five times in a row. But if anyone wants to do that with me, and you know, just get some good scripts put together and get these recorded, I really do want to actually get a bunch of tracks together for this. But oh shit! I lost my train of thought.
Oh no, we're talking about how you got access to them.
Oh yeah. So I remember the first time when I made fun of these was at a library. So I just went to, I haven't been in like 2 years, but I went to the ward library and I'm like, "Do you guys have VHS?" And they're like, "Yeah." Can I borrow them? I guess, sure. So I took like 30 videos and brought them home. I got a VCR, got a USB adapter, and it just popped video, just popped tapes in and started recording them.
Wow.
And then so when I wiped out one, I went to the next word over, went to the next stake, went, I actually went to the Oakland Temple, and
wow.
They've got a great library. So, I mean, a horrible, horrible library, but I mean, great in terms of the fact it's old and no one takes care of it. They don't have a single librarian in any of the wards. It's just, I had to go and ask a bishop to unlock the door. So, but yeah, go in there and find all sorts of stuff. There's tons of videos that are just kind of all over.
I'm just picturing blowing dust off crates. Like, hey, is that the Lost Ark back there? Wow.
Right.
It's kind of like that. Yeah. I found, oh gosh.
Right, the Constitution's back. National Treasure 3 is going to be held in the Oakland Temple Library.
Stuff in there. I found it. I never got it, and I'm kicking myself. There's an audio tape from some false prophet just lying on the shelf there. I shouldn't say false prophet. I don't believe in true prophets. But, you know, some lady, you know, talking about a prophecy of the end of the world circa 1983 or something. And just this tape labeled that, you know, just on a shelf.
Like it was written, or is it like a published sort of thing?
It was an audio cassette, just sitting on the shelf there, and I'm kicking myself. I don't have a tape player, so you know.
Your next mission is pick it up. You've got to go back
and get that thing, unless someone beats me to it. I don't know.
Well, that is fascinating because a lot of these, I think you're doing the Lord's work here, and I mean that sincerely. Well, kind of,
sincerely? Right, sure. Yeah.
I mean sincerely in my own way. I think you're doing a great, great thing because, first of all, I agree that these are totally precious, even if they do have racist, sexist stuff, and maybe especially because they do have racist, sexist stuff, but also because you get an ability to look back into that period of time get an inkling.
Time capsule, yeah, a lot of them.
Exactly. And the thing is, a lot of these are not surviving the digital transition. And I know that because when I was putting together a video about the translation process for Brother Jake, I went through all the videos I could find on LDS.org that depicted Joseph Smith receiving the plates and translating the plates. And videos that were produced after, like they've actually gone back and edited the kind of most recent version of Joseph Smith into past versions of the First Vision video. So they'll take scenes from a First Vision video that was filmed 5 years earlier, and they'll splice it in with film of the adult Joseph Smith translating the Book of Mormon that was taken from a different time period that was filmed after the First Vision film. So basically they're kind of retroactively splicing in the exact same image of the adult Joseph Smith in all live action film versions of depictions of Joseph Smith. And that's on LDS.org. And they don't have any videos before like 1990 or something.
They do now. They have, but
they do. The okay.
Same, they've got the same problem. And that's, I've actually had that asked a couple times. Why do you have this video? It's already at videos.lds.org. And there's two reasons. The first is that videos.lds.org is organized by topic, not by year. You have no clue as to when these things are made. It gives this false sense, like I said, of the church is always the same, and anything produced by the church is just going to be, you know, the same thing.
Right.
And the other thing is that they don't always put up the full original versions. I've got seminary videos that they're like 5 minutes longer, you know, twice as long with what I've got versus what's on LDS.org.
Oh, interesting. Oh, yeah, is there a different version of this video that we're talking, the one that was lost, or was that or is there no version of that?
No, I'd have to check. They are actively putting stuff on. And I will raise my hat to the LDS Church in that regard. They are going back and putting up old videos, but they aren't always full length. You know, they aren't always the original thing.
The uncut director's version. Yeah.
You know, I'm sure you guys have seen like Captain Moroni, you know, fighting Zarahemla. Did you know that goes on to also have the title of Liberty, and this whole thing about the government being evil, and if it's bad, you got to get up and fight against it. Yeah,
no,
all sorts of
no idea.
All sorts of stuff. I guess I can kind of understand why they got rid of that part, but
Right, that's a little powder keg. But it's interesting. The thing is, if it's still up there, you can kind of see, like, oh, the, you know, Cold War was a different time. Or if they were, you know, when people are fighting against communism, you know, the Cold War was a legitimately scary thing. And I can see why it influenced so – I mean, the influence was just totally unbridled. I mean, it was everywhere. So – but if you act like that never happened, then you have no kind of sense of – that it was a different time, and it just seems weird for no reason, you know?
Yeah.
Anyway, much respect for what you're doing. And the fact that you're going to all these different wards and stakes in the temple library, like, kudos to you, man. That's great.
Yeah, you should set up like a donate page or something.
That's... Seriously.
No.
I'd throw $5 your way for sure.
Like I said, you know, this all has to be for educational purposes because copyright, right?
Right.
This I can't accept a cent for this. I can't be benefited in any way. I don't want to open myself to any particular avenue that would have these things taken down because, you know, people are getting use out of them, and I don't.
All right. So we resorted to verbal high fives then. All right. Fair enough. I'll
consider them.
I have gotten more members giving me messages saying thank God that this is up here than I ever have from ex-Mormons saying, you know, this is so stupid. With the exception of the coffee video. That went on board.
Okay, so that leads me into one of my other big questions. The most controversial videos that you've either seen or that you've uploaded that's either gone viral, because I know that a cup of coffee, I mean, a couple of my friends sent that to me and I watched it. And yeah, that is a treat. That was... That's almost like a documentary of how to judge people or whatever. It's creepy, dude.
Are you sure?
Yes, she was pouring a cup of coffee.
I don't believe it.
Well, it's true.
I thought she was such a good member of the church.
Shh, here she comes.
Hello, how are you boys?
Fine, how are you?
Are those the pictures you took of the game last week, Neil?
Yeah.
Oh, I'd like to see them. Do you have a minute?
Sure.
Good. I have to take this cup of coffee down to Mrs. Olson. She hasn't been able to get around very well since she broke her ankle, but then I'll be right back.
Huh, she's taking the coffee to Mrs. Olson.
And we thought she was going to drink it.
All right. If you're looking for most controversial, most horrible, one would be The Fat Fighters from 1971.
The Fat Fighters?
Fat Fighters.
Go summarize that a little bit. What is that?
Yeah. What is it? It is a documentary about a weight loss program at BYU for young women taught by overweight white men. Which features the women who are participating in the program reenacting all the times that they are eating when they're not supposed to and focusing on how fat they are and how they will never get married.
I don't like myself fat. I really, in fact, I could say I hate myself, and I feel really self-conscious around other people. I feel like everyone's watching me, and I feel like a fat person just isn't lovable.
I'm always trying to blame my fat problem on my mother and my unhappy marriage. But now that I think about it, my marriage failed partly because of my fat problem. And there's no doubt about it, I love to eat.
This is part of our commitment action approach to weight control. The girls meet weekly in therapy sessions where behavioral change is emphasized. Overweight people tend to be dishonest, inconsistent, and irresponsible.
I'm not kidding, and I'm not, like, exaggerating.
What's the year on this
one? 1971.
Wow.
Oh, that's freaking
it's
great.
Horrible. Absolutely horrifying. But, definitely. You know, if you're looking for something fun, that's definitely one. You're going to have to excuse me. I'm actually scrolling through it.
While you're scrolling, because I know Scott and some of the other guys talk about Never a Bride. 1968. I'm looking at it right now.
Yep.
It's over 20 minutes long. I tried to get through 12 minutes of it. I couldn't do it anymore. And I don't know if it was, it's brutal.
Oh,
did you watch that one?
Yep. You know what's weird is there's actually some good advice in a lot of the old marriage videos.
Oh my
No, there is a lot of old marriage videos, and almost all of them are about things like communication, about realistic expectations, about treating each other as equals, about appreciating the sacrifice of your spouse. It's surprising that there's actually, I mean, yeah, there, most of them are horrible in many different ways, especially relating to gender roles, but they're not horrible in the sense of what you would expect.
I don't know, man. You're putting a lot of butter on that turd. I was watching this and the sexism was palatable, man. It was so bad where she's like, I got to get myself ready for a right man.
This is the kind of place you dream about. Stars and crickets. And then the right man comes along. Oh, it all fits in.
Just like that, huh?
I think maybe this summer. I think I'm ready, you know?
I hope so, Laura. Marriage is a good thing. Take it from an old widow.
That's the most important thing I can do, isn't it? Find the right person. Someone who can really make me happy.
And when you find him?
Then that's the one for me. If I'm in love with him. Aunt Jean, someone right this minute, he's looking for me. And when I find him, I'll know.
I don't know. I know Scott was like, we got to do an entire episode on just this video. But
I'm sorry. I just looked it up. That is a different one than the ones I was thinking of. No. Yeah, that one's horrible. I totally agree. I thought you were talking. There's a number of them. If you look for them, you can find them, because all the ones I'm talking about are actually prefaced by a title. This meaningless title that the church puts in front of the videos. Ah, here it is. The following film
was produced by Brigham Young University during the 1960s for general distribution to both church and non-church groups. Although the general principles are valid, the presentation does not represent all church areas of emphasis.
That means nothing. Is a meaningless phrase that simply says, if you don't like what this is saying, it's not our fault. Yeah. And any of the videos that have that title on there, they all actually tend to be relatively benign and actually kind of have some good advice.
Yeah, if you can skip the cringe-worthy parts. Yeah. Yeah, right.
Of the 60s, yeah. Okay. The Summer of Decision, 1962, is a famous one. That's the one you may have heard of. Guy goes to college, loses his testimony, comes back, encourages his girlfriend to go and elope, and they have a car wreck and die. And then, you know, they've died without being married in the temple. They'll never be together forever. And then he wakes up and it was all a dream. But
holy hell, no.
I was like, what is the lesson here? I couldn't even figure it out. I couldn't piece it together. What is he doing? Oh, it wasn't in the temple, obviously.
Marry in the temple in this life or else.
Or else. But you know, it was all a dream, so he woke up. They didn't get eloped, and he didn't go back to state college. He went to local college. kept his testimony. Because he has this professor who is this like totally reasonable guy, and you listen to it and you're like, this is a completely reasonable man. There's nothing wrong whatsoever with this. This is a very good professor. And yeah, he's totally evil, obviously, right? So
obviously.
Also 1962 is The Search for Truth, which is this documentary. You can't see my fingers with the scare quotes, but
it's this anti. I heard them though. I heard them.
It's this anti-evolution screed featuring scientists, at least half of them are like LDS or.
Those are also in air quotes, wasn't it?
Scientists, right?
Talking about how there's no contradiction between science and religion. It all works fine.
This leads us directly to the same age-old controversy which confronts young people today, just as it did Newton. Did life on Earth come about by orderly creation, as the revelations of God declare? Or did life come into being spontaneously by the chance meeting of elementary particles and without a guiding intelligence, as put forth by some skeptics? This theory has become very widespread, But a majority of scientists are now firmly convinced that creation was directed by an intelligent being.
And evolution's stupid. So, you know, don't
yeah, right.
Yeah, whatever. It's also famous because it has the Star Wars opening crawl of the words going into space.
Oh my gosh.
I've never been able to determine a video that has that particular opening scroll before this one. This one might actually be the original movie that has words floating through space before Star Wars. It's kind of weird.
Oh, Star Wars plagiarized it. Yeah, I'm sure.
Oh, wow. There's a billion-dollar lawsuit right there. It's
based on Spencer. I can't even finish that.
That would be...
Wow. What was that one called again?
That one? The Search for Truth, 1962. Nice. We've got... Oh! Sorry, yeah, you might have to edit this down, me just being like, this movie sucks, and this movie sucks, and this movie... We've got Up in Smoke, 1960, which is a live-action cartoon, if you will, of a Southern, like Georgia Southern, Foghorn Leghorn sort of thing, of a tobacco company going out to get man, woman, and child in this country addicted to cigarettes so we can make bank.
Miss Calhoun, I'm on important business for the big boss himself. These are the latest figures on the campaign to make every man, woman, and child in the whole country a cigarette smoker.
It's crazy. I mean, just... It's bad.
Isn't there also an Up in Smoke with Cheech and Chong, or is that something else?
Right. Yeah. No, it is.
Yeah.
Still version of that.
We've got A Chosen People, which features the noble savage of the Lamanites, you know, being introduced to the gospel by the white settlers, and they're like, oh, stop telling our sacred stories. These are our sacred stories.
I ask if you had a book. You tell me yes, and tell me of the Book of Mormon. That is our book. That is our history, not yours. We want it.
Chief Yellowface, on behalf of my people, I'd like to present you this Book of Mormon. And you're right. It is your book.
It's bad.
So they're saying that the like Book of Mormon stories, they're like, those are our stories.
Yeah. It's got a Native American guy where some Mormons are like friends with them. They're like, we've always been nice to you Mormons because you have our sacred history. It's like, ugh. Leave these people alone. It's just,
I tried to watch one that I vaguely remembered. It was The Godly Sorrow.
My sorrow is for the sin that gives offense to God and stains my soul within. This sorrow of godly pain hopes I never give offense to him.
God, that has Aaron Eckhart in it.
Yeah, that's right.
Yes.
He was the boyfriend who's like, are you serious? You're a whore? And because she admits to having, you know, relations to her bishop, and the bishop's like, nah, you can't get married. And he was the engaged boyfriend or whatever. And she's like, really? But, you know, we just got handsy and it's fine. We broke up or whatever. And I'm like, God doesn't approve of that stuff. No, marriage off. And so she's crying or whatever. And she has to continue to meet with the bishop in these creepy interviews and yikes.
Got a bunch of stuff. Then some of the other things I'm proud of that I have is I have a bunch of instructional videos, you know, just regular things, just, you know, how to play the organ, how to use the LDS scriptures from 1983, because they're new and people apparently don't know how to use footnotes. I don't know. All the way up to some modern ones, like how to work for LDS Family Services and be a counselor. And,
oh, wow.
Yeah. How to be a seminary teacher. Answer? Don't make waves. Just do what the manual tells you, pretty much. But
right. was there any eye-opening moments when you were either watching some of these or uploading them where you're like, whoa, this could be interesting?
Yeah, but I've always got the wrong... Yeah, I made reference that I'm friends with Mithrin on Reddit. Uh-huh. And that guy has an incredible knack for just knowing what is going to catch people's attention. And I don't. I do not have that whatsoever. People just don't seem to care. I found this video of a guy telling members how to share some of the new movies that the church is going to be coming out with. Uh-huh. And it's so corporate. He shares it, you know, it's got a slideshow, it's got statistics, and it's just basically talking.
Is it like between 6:30 and 7:30 p.m. on a Wednesday? Or does it have like
pretty much?
Is it that specific? Yeah. Is it something where like use this hashtag, post once on each of these social media things?
Well, it's older than that. It's called Direct Gospel Message Training from 1986.
The theme of the missionary effort is: through Jesus Christ, our Heavenly Father has provided the plan for families and individuals to find peace and happiness. This theme was derived from our findings about non-members 18 to 34 years of age. One of their most important concerns in life was relationships within their own family and with their friends. The media offerings and other resource materials to be used in this missionary effort are designed to center on these interests of non-members and to follow the theme. During this missionary effort in your area...
Oh, sorry, I didn't realize it was 1986.
Yeah, it's old. And it's just got this talking suit, and it's got a theme. It's got these things like, yeah, from the media, you're going to set a date and self-refer. Shows examples of... You know, in the 1990, you had a bunch of Michael McLean movies that came out. I'm sure you remember some of them.
Sure, yeah.
Yeah. So this is about one of them. And he goes through and he basically is like, yeah. So we used to have these home front, you know, commercials that people used to watch, but they didn't actually get anybody baptized. People liked them, but they didn't do anything about them. So we're going to start over. And the whole point of this is to get people baptized. So we need your help to get people to watch this. And when they watch it, here's an example of what it looks like. Then they're going to feel the Spirit, and you're going to talk to them about this. And then, then you'll bring them to church. You'll bring them to the first discussion. And it's just step by step by step. And it's so boring. And it's just so corporate. Complete with, like, numbered. Like, this is your assignment. Number one, do this. Number two, do this. Number three, do this. Just this guy talking to the screen, and he's like, we anticipate that this will increase membership numbers by like 15%.
Wow.
So it's incredibly boring, and maybe that's part of why I just don't understand why people are not interested in this, but I shared it on Reddit, and I got like 20 people saying, yeah, this is interesting. But for me, it's just kind of like, this is correlation. This is the soullessness of modern Mormonism. Yes. Encapsulated in 30 minutes. You want to see what it is about Mormonism that isn't working, that's wrong. It's this. It's right here. You can just sit down and watch it in one sitting. This is everything wrong.
Yeah.
But, oh well, whatever.
I remember thinking as I was in my church leadership meetings or whatever, and there were meetings that were somewhat like that, you know, where they have like a dry erase board and they're doing numbers like if we can get this many reactivated, whatever. And it feels just like a business meeting. And I remember thinking, okay, I'm not getting paid to be here because this is incredibly, incredibly boring. It's just excruciatingly boring. And I remember thinking, okay, those blessings better freaking pay at the end of this. Like when I die, if there's not like treasure chests of blessings, like, oh, you made it through all those meetings, dude. Nice job. Here you go.
Right. Just cash registers all like for one eon, one age of the earth.
Gold wings.
Ka-ching, 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 ka-ching.
You get a gold, you know, leaf wings for your, you know, becoming an angel or whatever it is. I don't know what it is. Unbelievable.
Yeah. So before we get into the actual video, I do want to just throw out, just because you guys have such an audience and such a reach, it might actually help me. I just want to throw out a couple titles. If anybody can help me find these or knows where I might be able to have access to these are some that I'm still looking for. I'm looking for the Free to Choose Seminary Institute program. I don't know if you remember that or not. It's really hokey.
I remember it, but I don't remember what was in it. But yeah.
Maybe Glenn knows something about this, but there's actually you may have heard of Man's Search for Happiness, where they made multiple versions of that.
Yep.
There is actually a Japanese version that is completely original. Doesn't use old footage. It was made just in Japan for the Japanese people in 1970.
Same.
Obviously,
script,
that's
everything.
Really hard to find. So I don't know if you find that. I want to find it.
Yeah.
There's Like Unto Us, which I think is really only available in Filmstrip. So that might be really hard. Also, Meet the Mormons in 1971. That might also just be in Filmstrip. That might be really hard to find. And the end all be all. And here I'm appealing to maybe any of your listeners who might actually be working at BYU or the church office building, because you probably have some. Is the original of the Lorenzo Snow movie, the Windows of Heaven.
Oh, really?
A lot of people don't know this. The version of Windows of Heaven that is publicly available is like a half hour long. The original was like 45 minutes long. Like,
I did not know that. 50.
It's like 20 minutes longer. And that was never released on video cassette, which is where I've gotten most of my videos. Wow. And I'm ready to start moving on to other avenues, film strips, that sort of thing. So that's like the gold standard. If I can get the original of Windows of Heaven, that'll be really, really good for me to get.
Wow. Okay. So cool.
Wow. That's fascinating. I had no idea that there was a different version of it out there. So please, listeners, if you have access or have even an inkling, a rumor of these videos existing and where they may be found, please.
In your grandpa's attic or wherever. Yeah.
And if there's if anyone has any access, and this is like highly restrictive, so I really anticipate no one getting this, but I got to try. If anyone has any access for presentations that are just for CES instructors, I have a lot of them, but I'm willing to try. Or for, and the wording here is important, anything for the top church councils, including the coordinating council or the area councils.
Oh,
and the reason
I know
that those exist is because on a lot of like FHE videos or things like that, they'll have clips from these presentations.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
So they are recorded. They definitely are recorded and they're kept somewhere because they're used by other people later. If I get a hold of any of those, that'd be great. Obviously, I doubt that'll ever happen, but some of the gems that are in there are things like The Mantle is Far Greater, you know, by Boyd K. Packer. Really, anything amazing, you know, amazingly horrible by Boyd K. Packer is probably going to be in there because, you know, the three dangers to the church of intellectuals, homosexuals, and
right.
Those are things that are delivered to the coordinating council, which is a fancy name for like basically the 70 and the bishopric. So
this brings up this question, because if you can get some of those gems, which would be amazing, would you at least be worried or afraid of the wrath of the church? I mean, or the lawyers of the church trying to get you to remove all this stuff?
Yes, right. I would be terrified at that point. But, you know, it's worth it. And this is history, man. And history matters. History is important.
I agree.
And it shouldn't matter if... Fuck you, Boyd K. Packer. It doesn't matter. You know, the historian wants to tell the truth. Yeah, he does. That's his job. So, you know, I don't care if the history isn't always uplifting, if it isn't always helpful, if it isn't always faithful. It's true, no matter how it goes. It happened. And if we have these documentary sources, that's important. How people use those sources can be however they use them. Maybe apologists will find a way to spin it. I don't know. But give people the benefit of the doubt. If they have access to these things, they should be able to use them, and it should do nothing but help people at least have a better understanding of the way things actually were.
Right.
There's my soapbox. I'm getting off. Sorry.
The thing is, in a lot of ways, I totally agree with that, because in a lot of ways, understanding more where this viewpoint is coming from, like, I guess I feel like it kind of almost increased my empathy with like older members of the church that have views that I think are antiquated, or they're worried about things that seem odd or silly to me.
Yeah.
By watching these videos, I can kind of get a sense for what people were thinking about at that time. And those are, I mean, if that was during kind of the more formative period for the people that I'm talking to, I have a better understanding of where they're coming from. I feel like it helps build empathy, because it gives you at least some sort of insight into the type of messaging and information they were exposed to.
Does it really do that, Jake? Or is it more of a avenue of like, what the fuck are these people thinking?
Okay, fine. Okay.
I'd say that was... it's both.
It's a little of both. It's a little
like column I said, a, little I have found videos that make me go, why the hell don't we have videos like this anymore? We've got a woman who comes back to church, you know, and stands up and says, yeah, I had sex out of wedlock. I'm a whore. I don't agree that, you know, you should feel bad about this, but she's like, I feel terrible about this. And her ward accepts her and loves her. And, you know, we don't have movies like that. We don't have movies where the young boy's like, daddy, why won't, you know, this is supposed to be my day. Why are we going to do the ward service project? Well, because I'm in the bishopric and this is important to everyone. Okay. Yeah. We don't have these things anymore. And, in a way, it we should, because in a lot of ways, a lot of these old movies are stories about real people. They aren't just doctrines trying to be shoved into people's brains directly. They're just kind of like, yeah, people are complicated. Life is complicated. You know, let's have some charity for everyone and let's do the best we can. We're all in this together.
Right, right. And that leads me into that which was lost, this particular video. And this will become more clear a little later on. But I'm going to go ahead and kind of give it a general background for when I first saw this video, because this is the one that I really wanted to watch, and that's why I made it one of the parts of this episode. So I was in high school, and I think I was like a junior or something like that, and it was just one day that one Sunday, our teacher was tired or bored or whatever. And so he just showed this video because it's long. I mean, it's 30 minutes long compared to a lot of the videos that exist now in church media. It's on the longer side. So he showed this, and it was just this very weird, fascinating experience watching this video and just saying, what is going on? Because so it's just crazy to watch how worried they were about hippies, and like there was this it was just a bizarre, and there was this, it all culminated in the experience, it all culminated in this moment where we'll talk about this as well, but there's this moment where the hippies are all chanting, get out of my life, get out of my, and they're saying this to the young men's instructor, get out of my life, and he's like leaving the house dejected, and they're throwing firecrackers at him as he's walking away. Get out of my life. And I went home and I told my family about this video that I'd seen. I was like, I swear this movie exists. I swear it's out there. He was saying, get out. And so it's been like an inside joke for my family for like 10 years. Where we say, get out of my life, like at least one time every time we get together, even though none of them have ever seen the video, and I've never been able to show it to any of them again since it happened, because I've never been able to find it. I couldn't quite remember what it was called. And when I asked church librarians for like years after this if they'd ever heard, and I thought it was one who was lost or something like that. Mm-hmm. And then when you uploaded this video and somebody put it like on our Facebook page, I was like, God damn it. That's it. That's the one. I finally found it. This is my prodigal son. Was this video that was out there. I was so excited that I could see it again. So that's why I wanted to choose this one, is because it fulfilled all these kind of everything I liked about your project. Just, it was this weird window into the past, and it just, and it was catchy.
Dude, this whole movie. It's about how people can follow the teachings of a long-haired hippie to save people from long-haired hippies. It's great.
Exactly. That, all that sounds to me like a story of you trying to validate that you weren't crazy. Like, no, this video was exist.
I know, it really, it's super self-centered. It was all about, yeah, it exists, I promise.
I was not making this shit up. This is, there's a batshit crazy movie out there, I swear.
Dude, no, I know exactly what he's talking about. I saw this movie on my mission in that library. I came back. I worked for the church at the distribution center. I was in charge of videos, obviously, because if anyone came in and asked, do you have such and such? I'd, oh, yeah, yeah, it's in that one right there.
Right, right.
Yeah, I knew about this one and a ton of others. And I'd always explain to people, this is the funniest movie ever. This is so dumb. And no one even knew what I was talking about. Even the old people. It's weird. This is the same year as a bunch of other movies that are really popular, but this one is just completely forgotten. This is the same year that the LDS Motion Picture Studio, BYU, came out with Pioneers and Petticoats, which I'm sure people have heard of.
It
also came out with Johnny Lingo, which is like the end all be all.
Right.
So, but it came out with this one as well. And like I said, I found out later this one was actually recut, in three versions so that it could actually be given to Mormons, to Christians, and to everybody to help them. They really thought this was that important of a movie, and that the hippie counter-revolution was that much of a problem. Yeah, it's weird.
You don't want them hugging trees in your neighborhood.
Right. Because maybe they'll hug them with toilet paper.
Oh, yeah. So, what are you planning to do to help people to know kind of what the hell we're talking about?
Well, I was planning on, so it's part of it is the intro. I'm going to put together the intro, and the intro will probably include kind of a similar story to what I just said.
Get out of my life. Now I'm going to be chanting it. Thanks, man.
Right. Get out of my life. It's such a great thing to chant because it's like you have nowhere else to go in an argument with somebody. You can win that way in a way, you know, in a weird way. You can be like, get out of my life. And they have to leave because who's going to stick around?
Yeah, it's not a question. It's an order. Right.
Right. Exactly.
Same old song, man. Same old song, man.
Rows and rows of blades and blades.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen this, Tom? Or do you know what we're talking about? Have you seen it yet?
I have not seen it, no. But I just looked it up to see that, it exists. And so I bookmarked this. Now I've got like five videos bookmarked that I've got to watch later. This is going to be a mess.
Yeah. Well, it's a very the thing is, in spite of the anti-hippie messaging of it, which is one of the major themes, there was this theme of like the young men's leader helping kind of step in and help out the dad to be a good dad. You know, you had this very disinterested father, and then the young men's leader trying to step in and kind of help bring the two together, which I think I could totally see that working for like a secular audience, you know, like that's. Everybody wants to, you know, feel connected to their parents or whatever. I was going to say everybody wants a dad, but I feel like I'd offend somebody. Yes, I know who would I offend. It's a lot of times I say something, I know I'll offend somebody, and I have to it takes me 10 seconds to figure out who I'm going to offend.
Yeah, the offensive delay meter in your mind.
Right. It's like I can tell beforehand, this isn't a good idea, but I can't quite articulate why.
I'm going to get hate mail when I say this, but oh well.
Oh well.
Right. Right, but everybody wants to feel connected to their parents, or whatever. Anyway, so I actually liked that portion of the movie. I really liked the young man's president a lot.
Yeah,
I thought he was he was very earnest. He was trying his best. He even had a little crisis of faith, and then asked why do I care about this kid? Is it just because I want 100% of my home teaching, or do I really want to help him out?
I like that when the kid is driven to run away from home and. Live with the hippies, it's because he messed up. You know, he's flawed. Just speaking in terms of the literary nature of the story. The young men's president.
Right.
Yeah, the whole point is even he messed up at some point because he starts insulting the hippies too.
Right.
And the kid's like, I thought you were different. I thought you understood, but you're just like all the rest. And that's when he pretty much runs away to the hippies because the young men's president messed up too.
Right. That's a good point. I mean, ultimately the young men's president was proven right because Turtle runs away the second that Lily shows signs of an OD or whatever. that OD scene, that was another thing that stuck in my mind because the scene where she ODs, I mean, she screams. She doesn't – this is not poor acting. This is – she throws herself – that was 1,000%. That was probably that was an Oscar-winning OD scene. She just screams, screeches in just terrified hallucinations. It's pretty amazing.
Yeah.
So it sounds like you watched this recently, Jake.
Oh, I watched it today. Watched it today. I wanted it to be fresh. Get out of my life, Tom.
Yeah, so,
get out of my life.
So Tom, the story is that we've got a young men's president moves to L.A. It's never said, but it's obviously like LA somewhere. He moves in and he's been TP'd by a bunch of, you know, juvenile delinquents, and he catches one of them. And
that was the first time I saw Rick, but certainly not the last. We just moved into the neighborhood, but I guess this was his way of welcoming us.
It wasn't anything personal. It was the tree. Some trees you just can't resist. But I think I'll learn to.
By day, it was garbage cans. First time I had to clean up the mess, that was the last time I dumped a garbage can.
My dad would ground me for a month if he knew about this.
I'll bet your dad kicked up his heels a little when he was young.
Not my father. He was never young.
The kid says, yeah, my dad sucks, you know. And it turns out that this kid's a member of the church, and so is the guy that he TP'd. And the guy he TP'd is actually, turns out to be his young men's president.
And his home teacher.
Yeah, that's true. Yeah, his home teacher. And so he really tries to make this connection, and he really does kind of become this kid's friend. But this kid has a dad who is just, like, scheduled to the letter. He's a doctor. He's really important in the community. Talks to the Chamber of Commerce. And I don't know why a doctor would, you know, talk to the Chamber of Commerce, but, you know, he does. And eventually gets to the point where, like I said, the young men's president insults the hippies that this kid really likes. He's friends with, in particular, this hippie named Turtle, who shows up in the first scene driving probably high, and
right.
drives on this guy's grass in his Volkswagen bus with stuff painted on the side. It's so
Ricky, baby, that tree's beautiful, man, beautiful.
Hi, Rick. Man, that's too much.
Hiya, Lily. How's it going, Turtle?
Like around and around. You move, man?
Just, visiting.
Worked on my lawn, you know.
Hey, I am. How about that? Man, beautiful little blade. Rows and rows of blades and blades.
Get off of the man's grass, Turtle.
Yes, madame. Hey, Rick, you know where my pad is, man?
Sure, Turtle.
If you're ever on the block, stop and knock. Like, do it now. It's a gas.
And at which point he gives the home teacher his nickname, because he looks down, he's, you know, the guy's like, you're parked in my grass, man. He's like, looks down, yeah, blades and blades. Yes. And from then on, he just right. calls the guy Mr. Blades. Which
is right, of course.
Coolest nickname ever. This is written by Orma Wallengren? I don't know.
Even though he actually wrote a lot, he became great friends with Wesley Snipes. He actually wrote Blade.
she actually.
Oh shit. Okay, obviously the story that I made up is the story that I said is not true, because I couldn't even get that right.
But yeah. The story is actually, it's not that bad, to be honest. This kid just has trouble making friends, and he's made friends with the hippies. And to be honest, the hippies, the reason they were so popular is because there was a real problem in society, American society and British at the time. And they really offered a solution to a lot of people to just kind of leave society, just get rid of all the crap and try and live more simply. Too bad about all the drugs and the sexism and the racism and all that other stuff.
Yeah, you can look past all that. Yeah.
Right.
But yeah, so like I said, the young men's leader, he insults the hippies at one point while this kid's wearing some necklaces, painting peace signs on his VW bus.
right.
What do these hippies have that appeals to you?
Plenty. Freedom. They've kicked the establishment.
For example?
They're not uptight about some career, about trying to make it as salesmen or bankers or doctors. They're just living for right now. Searching for love.
Love? They make it pretty tough for people to love them.
Well, if you're going to judge them on the basis of how they look.
And act, and sound, and smell.
You know, for a while I thought you were different. But you're just like all the rest. You're just like my dad.
And so the kid runs away to Turtle's house, and the young men's president has to go and find him and bring him back. When he confronts the guy, A girl who's at the house answers the door, and she's like, oh, get him out of here.
Are you going to get him out of here?
I'm going to try.
Don't try. Get him out of here. It's not too late for him.
It's not too late for him. And that's when the chanting occurs in the background. They just
right.
All this chanting, which, I don't know, it is rather, to me, compelling. It's well acted and well written. It finally comes to a head when the young men's teacher convinces the kid's dad that this is his problem too. And they go together to get the kid. The hippies are getting ready to leave town somewhere. I don't know why, but they are really quickly. Right. And the girl is, she's stoned out of her mind. She screams and like collapses to the ground. And the hippies, you know, at that point decide to book it, which totally fragments the kid's point of view. He's like, I thought you guys were all about love and you're just going to abandon her. Yeah. And
right. Exactly. Because ultimately the hippies do show their truth. They can't actually be good people. Oh. It's just.
You better get out of here fast.
Really?
That's right. Run. Where's your concern now? Your great love for your fellow man, huh?
Rick, move it.
You're not serious. You wouldn't leave her.
You want to get busted?
Wait. We can help her. We can get her to a hospital. It'll be okay.
A hospital? Man, she's on snow. She's flying high. Now, I'm going to tell you one more time. Are you coming?
Yeah. And the problem is it's all about the drugs, which is kind of problematic. I mean, the counterculture of the 1960s had real problems. But unfortunately, the real problems they had were also real problems that the Mormon Church had at the time. So it's not like they could capitalize on them. You know, it was sexist, you know, it was misogynist, and it was racist. Unfortunately, in the 1960s,
the Holy Trinity.
Church,
yeah.
So it's not like they could capitalize on that. So the movie is pretty much just about the danger of drugs. But the kid is shocked by the fact that hippies are going to leave the girl. His dad, who's a doctor, comes out and tries to help the girl, and they wait for the cops to arrive, and the family's back together because the hippies have left town. Right. And the end, everything's happy. Oh, and by the way, if you're a member of the church and, you know, you aren't taking your kid to primary, or you're a returned missionary and you aren't, you know, going to church every week, you're a lost sheep too, and people need to help find you if they care, if they love you.
Right. Well, I mean, ultimately, that's the message of the video is at the very beginning, they open up with some scenes of here's a returned missionary. He's a probably an okay person, but he doesn't go to church.
Here's a returned missionary who bears his testimony each Fast Sunday. He teaches a Sunday school class, too, and does a pretty fair job of it. But he never comes to priesthood meeting and seldom comes to sacrament meeting. Here's a sweet child of primary age with keen intellect and tremendous potential. She doesn't come to primary because it's too much trouble. Oh, not for her, but for her mother. The mother complains that with all her other responsibilities, she doesn't have time to take her. The child may be lost to the kingdom, but who in this case is really the lost sheep? Here's a girl who thinks she has to follow the latest dress styles regardless. I'm not ashamed of the way I look, she says, and is out to prove it. She claims she loves the church, but is this the first step away from the church?
That's the opening credits. And then it says, I mean, the very opening, it says, like, all of these people, we're all lost. We're all sinners in some way. But it says, if you try hard enough.
But even those lost in some distant wilderness can be brought back. If someone cares enough, believes enough, and never stops trying.
If you have somebody that really cares enough and never stops trying, you can bring them back. You will bring them back.
Yeah.
So that's a tough promise to make.
Oh, goodness. Especially nowadays, looking back in 2016.
Right. Yeah. I mean,
it's kind of like no one ever tried to bring me back. Of course, the other half is really glad that they didn't, but
right, it would be awkward. I mean, there's plenty of people that try. My mom sent my bishopric over to my house without telling me. So when I moved, and they didn't even know where I lived. So So I mean, it's just they're perfectly nice people. I like them. Mm-hmm. They're nice guys. It was an awkward conversation. So you dodged a bit of a self-righteous bullet there. But I think ultimately, yeah, it's, you know. It is about like caring about another person. Like that's the thing I actually like about this video is like, it is about, they really do care about Rick.
They do.
They really give a shit about this kid.
That's even the coolest line in the entire show.
Right.
You know, shut up, Turtle. Let me do my thing. You know, well, what exactly is your thing, Mr. Blades? Well, right now, my thing is Ricky.
Look, man, bug off, will you? Let me do my thing, will you, Turtle? Just what is your thing? Right now, it's Rick. Go ahead and laugh, that I really care about him.
Oh, right, dude. Yes.
Awesome, awesome. That's line. Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know whether
to show that hippie scum, man.
Right. I don't know whether I'm embarrassed or impressed that you guys know the structure and the summary of this movie so well. I mean, good job.
It really made an impression, Tom. It really made an impression.
I'm gonna go back to watch Spotlight again. But hey, whatever floats your boat.
Oh, whatever.
Hey, so wait, you got to tell me. A cup of coffee. Do you think that one deserved to more or less go viral? Because I'm looking at the views, dude. It's almost 90,000 views.
Dude, that's way more than that's way more than any video that I have. That's awesome, man.
I came into work that morning and opened up my inbox, just, you know, I do that every morning, and I got like 600 emails from YouTube. It's like, what the fuck is going on? Like, up a copy, what the hell? Go and find out. Oh yeah, Boing Boing. You know, for some reason, of all things, and of all videos, cup of coffee? Why the hell? Why didn't you choose Ancient America Speaks or something like that? I mean, come on. But no, I don't think it deserves that.
You don't think so?
Not really, no.
Jake, did you watch it?
The cup of coffee?
Coffee, 1980.
I think it's because it's short.
It is short. Yeah, it's under three minutes.
Right.
But it's a step-by-step walkthrough of how to judge people.
right because the lesson
their teacher is, you know, bad because she drinks a cup of coffee, and then at the end, you know, spoiler alert, you know, she was just handing it off to someone else. She wasn't actually, it wasn't her cup of coffee, she's giving it to somebody else. Like, and the two boys like, oh, thank God. That would have been, bad if she would have drank.
Right, coffee. Exactly. That's... Like, they're only vindicated. They're only made to feel silly when she didn't actually drink coffee. They're stupid for thinking she drank coffee when she didn't.
Because if she
not for caring about drinking coffee in the first place.
If she would have drank coffee, holy shit.
Oh yes.
I don't know. There's another video in that same series called The Bus, which actually has a character, Sister Olsen, by the same name, who is this old lady on a bus that no one gets up for. And in my mind, I always like to link the two together. Sister Olsen is the one who drinks the cup of coffee at school, and she's this little old lady who's so kind, and no one will give their seat up when she gets on the bus soaked wet from the rain. You know, because that's just the way you taught
assholes on the bus.
Yeah. But I don't know. I think it's just because it's like 3 minutes long. It's easy to share. It's easy to pass around on YouTube. It speaks to the weirdness of Mormons not drinking coffee.
Well, and it's the also the slideshow. It's that slideshow format.
That's true. And the fact that I only had access at the time to the ASL version, which I think really threw people for a loop, that there's this woman signing in the front with this big bow on. I think a lot of people are just like, why the fuck is there a woman sign in front? And well, the answer is because at that time, the only video cassette version I had of these film strips was the ASL version. I later found a regular version, but I decided not to put it up because it seems everyone really likes the signing people in front anyway. So,
well, yeah, because they keep a straight face. Not once did they crack like, what the fuck is this?
Right, and they're totally, and the thing is, like, the ASL person really brings it to life, because otherwise they're these still shots with audio over them. But they're acting out the actual, like, as they're signing, they're putting the emotion into the words.
Making the facial expression.
Right, so they're like, did she drink coffee? And she looks like she has shit in her mouth. She's like, you know, like, it's a very vital portion of it.
I think that's part of ASL, isn't it? That you need to share emotion with the words. You need to share that that sense of things, but because the syntax is much more simple than just English, where there's a lot of just grammatical terms that kind of help the syntax along. It's you know, instead of being like, she drank the cup of coffee, it's more like, she cup coffee drink.
Right.
I'm gonna get a lot of people saying, that's not how ASL works.
This is Hillary.
Matthew Ryan.
Carol.
Keith.
Ashley.
And I like to play bingo online while listening to Infants on Thrones.
You can comment on this episode on the website, infantsonthrones.com.
And if you really like what you hear, give the Quorum a 5-star rating and write a short review on iTunes.
I did. Anyone for the closing prayer?
I don't know if any of you guys have seen the Jehovah's Witness video, the anti-masturbation video.
No.
Uh-uh.
Okay, so this has nothing to do with purpose.
Okay.
But if you're looking for a laugh, you got to see that. Because I'm sure you can guess what the sign language term for masturbation is. The facial expressions that go with this are just amazing. Oh, just to imagine that these are people who are a lot like the Mormons. If the Mormons ever made an anti-masturbation video, it would probably look like this. And you got these people with this, their hands just going up. I shouldn't be saying this. I feel so bad. But their hands just going up and down, and their face is just, their eyes are closed and their mouth's half open. They're just like, oh.
Wow. I mean, obviously, the thing is that alone right there is proof that ASL was created by a man. Because I think it would be a very different sign if it was a woman.
Yeah, she'd be playing the DJ like,
that's not how it works, Tom. If Heather was on here, she could tell us, I'm sure.
Yeah, right.
But yes.
Hey, that's why we got a lady on the podcast.
You have to find this video, and you have to put a link on it in the show notes, man.
I absolutely will. I'll put it in the description.
I'm sure someone's made a supercut that's just some of those parts. That's fine. It's a long video, and obviously it's what you would think it is, being Jehovah's Witnesses and anti-masturbation. You probably don't want to sit through the whole thing, but just, yeah. ASL requires facial expression, apparently.
Right.
And the really good translators, they deliver. So
they go for it. That's how they get the big bucks.
Thank you for listening to Infants on Thrones.